Narrative Frameworks, 73. Vision. Visionary, visions, vision. Seeing, seer, insight, foresight, farsight, nearsight, uptight, or seeing right. Where is your seeing, your physical seeing, your internal seeing, your external seeing, your inner eye, your outer eye? What you are seeing, as we have seen, depends on the nature of the seer. And your conclusions that you have made about the nature of the seer, the nature of yourself, limited or boundless, or somewhere in between, if there is anywhere in between. Because really it is just seeing with some degree of limitation, more or less degree of limitation, or it is seeing without limitation, it is seeing clearly, clearly, without obstruction. Limitation involves obstruction, or contraction, or funneling in of vision to a single point of reference. So vision, this is something that is a vast topic, but just a few points about vision in the modern world. So we have this boundless, apparently boundless physical reality, you know, this vast, at least, boundless, this vast physical reality. Certainly seems boundless to a consciousness of limitation. You know, this world is vast, this huge possibility. And in the modern world, this consciousness that can see this manifestation of huge possibility has been reduced down to looking at a few square inches of screen. We bow our heads, like people used to do in church. You know, we compress the area at the front of the neck as the chin drops towards chest, but not out of a reverence or a awareness, but out of a physical positioning of the head to limit consciousness down to a little screen of a phone. And there's lots happening on that screen, you know, you can access so much information on that screen, but it's still a screen you're looking at, and it's still a limited box. And also, what messages to the brain is this sending? You know, we're standing up, we're tilting our head down like that. It's like adopting a posture of low self-esteem, of low confidence, of little me. And we're normalising this. This is being normalised. Don't know if people who have necks in the future, or at least necks that can lift the head up, you know, it might be naturally selected out of us as a result of postures changing to accommodate appendages of technology, that soon we will be appendages to the technology rather than technology appendages to us. So what messages to the brain are being sent here as we adopt this posture of, if there wasn't a phone there, if you were just standing like that, it would look like you were sort of down or depressed or resigned. What are we reproducing here? What are we proliferating here? What are we perpetuating here? Because it's beyond the image, it's beyond what we think we are doing, it's beyond what we think we are looking at. Just again, the screen light, as we spend more and more time with screens, we are just yeah, you can see yourself as looking at this different information, but actually you're just looking at a screen light. You're looking at light. You're looking at it's kind of like a unnatural light. Whatever you're looking at on the screen, it's screen light that your brain is being stimulated by or dulled down by. What is this light doing to our brains? We know natural light is good for the brain. It helps the brain function well. It helps the body function well. It helps certain chemicals be released. It helps keep us feeling good about ourselves. Natural light, you know? But the more and more we replace what we see as reflections of natural light, everything in the physical world is a reflection of natural light. Different colours are different reflections of different frequencies of light. But as we look into a screen, it's just, it's this false light. It's this light of death. It's like it's a bearing of false light. Whatever you're looking at on the screen is screen light. And this is interesting because there's, in non-duality, is often the analogy of a screen is used. So you've got a projector screen and you've got a projected image on the screen. And you can see, there's one example of the analogy would be to see the screen, the backdrop, as the non-dual, an indicator of the non-dual whole. And the changing pictures that are projected on the screen as the dualistic play. And when we look at a film which is projected on the screen, we don't see the screen. We don't see the non-dual truth, the non-dual backdrop, the non-dual unchanging essence, because we're enamoured with the play, with the projection, with the images, with the passing forms. And so when we watch a play, we think we're just watching the we kind of get lost in the pictures, in the story, and we forget about the screen because the screen is kind of the ever-present backdrop. We don't need to worry about it, we don't need to focus on it. It's beyond focus, you know. Focus is coming down to a limited point. The screen is the boundlessness which holds all potential points of focus. Really, this analogy points also to the fact that the non-duality and the duality are, although we can separate them out, they're just one thing. The picture requires the screen, and the screen, for something to happen, requires the picture. So with electronic technology and just staring at screens, this is no longer a blank screen of the physical world. This is a blank backdrop of a false light. And this could be seen as the hijack of the one, this artificial light in replace of the natural. So our vision, metaphorically, really, physically, spiritually, what is happening here? We can see also cities. As cities get built up, you can't see the horizon. You have no far sight anymore. So no far physical sight. What reflection is this of internal state of being? Does this support an opening up of the mind or a locking down of the mind? Countryside horizon, you can see boundless space, distance, the openness of the sky. You can see the undulating hills, the natural forms. City, you just see close up, immediate, instant, in your face, man-made apparitions. how does this affect our vision? How is our vision affected by what we see? How is the seer and its sense of self affected by what we see? Can you see far or not? Skyscrapers, hills. Yeah, it's all part of the one play. The inside-outside mirror play. We might spend time in cities, we might spend time in the countryside, and we might have a balance somehow of these different energies, these different contexts, environments, which feed back into our sense of reality. It's all part of the play. But what is most truly the nature of the player? Is it a man-made construct, an ego drive, an ego living? Or is it a natural reality beyond concept, beyond construct, beyond conditions, a natural outpouring and inpouring of self? I mean, what is this city dwelling, city living, doing to our vision and the way we see? All these grey colours. And the only colour is not a celebration of life, like the flowers and the plants, and the trees and the rivers, and the animals and the fish. The only colours are demons seeking your attention. Self-interested groups promoting their self-interest, wanting you to buy their thing, wanting you to buy the product or buy the service. And as we're living cities more and more, we're living in the marketplace more and more, we're living in the realm of buying and selling more and more, of giving and taking more and more, of exchange more and more. And what is all this? This is duality. This is the realm of the constructed duality. Countryside is less of a give and take and more of a holistic flow of life, rather than a breakdown of the flow of life into partitions and separate exchanges and money and contracts and conditionings. So our whole outlook is affected by what we see. The seer is the seer regardless. Truth is truth regardless. But in its experiential form, it's affected by the messages around us. The soul can more easily come back to spirit in nature. In the man-made construct, the soul is more readily going to lock itself down to limitation, because that's how the man-made construct operates, is what the man-made construct is. It's a limitation, a breakdown of nature. I mean, a breakdown, you can see that in, it's a, like a delineation of different parts within exchanges where everything is numbered and named and compartmentalized. Whereas in nature, you know, you don't have to even know the name of the birds and the plants. You just see it and you feel it and you know that it is true. So our whole outlook is changed by the environment we live in. We can be taken away from our true nature or not handed back, or supported in coming back to our true nature. No one else hands it to us. We find it for ourselves. This is consciousness finding itself for itself. Our whole outlook, this is so important, because, you know, these phrases are co-opted and used against us. Like outlook is a mail account now, isn't it? It's a mail, Hotmail has become Outlook or Outlook Express or whatever. And that's a Microsoft thing on the Windows system. So you have Windows and Outlook, Outlook and Windows. This is all about vision. And again, these are computer things. It comes back to the screen. So it's all out there. It's all these words are out there giving you clues of what's happening. The computer becomes your window on the world, your windows on the world, your operating system. It's even called an operating system, the way you operate, your outlook. Okay, so windows is the operating system. You operate through certain windows of seeing. This is the information you access through the computer. This is your new way of seeing. Your outlook, your email communications. It's like your prospects, your outlook, your the way you see through the windows that you're given. These analogies, you know, they're far-fetched and real. Successful companies don't use certain names for accidental reasons. There's bigger forces at play than we can even recognize them, but it's difficult to describe them. But another example along those lines, just to, I mean, iPhone, iPad, I this, I that. It's like, it's bringing the sense of self, sense of I, into technology. It's like a subliminal subconscious tying up of self with technology. And then there's the less obvious things like Android Pay or Google, I don't know what it's called, Android something or other, Android operating system again. Android operating system, an Android is a human and machine mix. This is what we're being engineered for. And we need to see this by detaching our vision from these platforms that we're given and platforms that are created around us. We need to come back to our own inner seeing, because as we come back to our own inner seeing, beyond inside and outside, as we come back to ourself, we're reunited with the greater truth of what that self is. And only then can we steer wisely, truly, adeptly this experience of self within the world.